Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading today begins with the word then. So you know that there was something happening before then. What was it? Jesus had sent out 72 men to preach and to heal. And then they got back and they were all excited. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus responds to them, do not rejoice in this, but rather that your names are written in the book of life. And then he prayed to his heavenly Father. Father, I thank you that you have not revealed these things to the wise and understanding, but to little children, for such is your will. And so, when we hear in the gospel reading that there was this expert in God's law and came up to Jesus asking him, teacher, what must I do to obtain eternal life? Well, you know, he's already gotten it wrong. What must I do? Nothing. Isn't there anything? No, there is nothing you can do to gain salvation. As Lutherans, we know you are saved by grace. You are not saved by works, by what you do. Except Jesus apparently entertains this man's question and says, well, what is written in God's law? You know the law. You're an expert in God's law. And indeed, he did know it. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your being, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. They encompass the entirety of God's law. And what does Jesus say to this man? You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Jesus doesn't seem to be a very good Lutheran. Is he teaching salvation by works? Well, this man, he's not content with this answer of Jesus Christ. Who is my neighbor? Or Luke tells us that he desired to justify himself. Now, we've seen this before. A few weeks ago, remember the Pharisee and the tax collector praying in the temple? The Pharisee, knowing he is justified by God. Why? Because he's a good person. Because he does good works. Because he stays away from all of those sinful and evil things. And yet it is Jesus who says that it is not this man, the good person, who is justified, but rather the wicked person, the tax collector, the one who despaired of himself, who knew of his sin and pleaded to God only for mercy. And that's exactly what he received. He received from God mercy. It is this man, Jesus said, who was justified. But here is this man standing before Jesus, desiring to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? If you tell me, Lord, who I'm supposed to love, then I'll get to it and I can rest secure in my salvation. And now Jesus tells the man a story. We know it well. It's one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, one of the most loved. The Good Samaritan, a man who is traveling on the road and is beaten and left half dead. Now, it is not this man's countrymen, who, by the way, were also professional clergy, who stop and help the man. It is rather a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan. You see, the Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. And yet, it's the Samaritan who, when he saw this man in the ditch, bleeding and dying, he had compassion on him. He sacrificed his own time constraints and his own needs and got down in that ditch and helped the man, sparing no expense. Does that sound familiar? Our Lord himself is the Good Samaritan, sparing no expense, sacrificing even his own life in order to reach out to us and lift us out of the ditch, to save us from our sins. Indeed, this is a beautiful and glorious picture of who Jesus is, the true good Samaritan. And yet, if we stop there, well, then we're just kind of ignoring all the rest, in which Jesus says, now, which one of these three people, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, which one of those three was the one who was a neighbor to this man in the ditch? And of course, the man knew the answer. It was the one who had mercy on him. And here goes Jesus again, you go and do the same. And that's where it ends. So what do we do with the words of Jesus, who seems to be teaching us that, okay, here's what the law says, this is what you must do. Remember, the question that was asked was, what must I do to obtain salvation? Except there also is something that comes after this gospel reading. So as we began by looking at what came before, let's look also at what comes after. It's also a well-known and loved passage of Scripture about Mary and Martha, who were sisters and who were friends of Jesus. And Martha invites Jesus into their home. And there she is, working away in the kitchen, working hard to prepare a good meal for Jesus, to be a wonderful host, a wonderful hostess. And we know these people, don't we? They go out of their way to welcome you into their home, to do everything they can to provide for you a wonderful experience. That was Martha. But then there's Mary. What did Mary do? Nothing. She sat and did absolutely nothing, not caring one bit about what she needed to do for Jesus to be a good hostess for him, not caring one bit about Martha working hard, sweating away in the kitchen. No, she did nothing. Jesus, entering their home, being a teacher, began to teach, and he had a ready audience in Mary, who sat at his feet and listened. Now, Martha had about enough of this and complained to Jesus, Lord, don't you see that I'm working away and my sister, she's doing nothing? So what does Jesus tell her? Martha, you're right. You've been working hard. Thank you for all that you've done. No, that's not what he says. Or Martha, you've been working hard. Why don't you take a break and I'll ask Mary to take over for you? Again, no, Jesus doesn't seem to be concerned about her plight at all. Instead, he says to her, Martha, you are worried. You are distracted by many things, but Mary has chosen the better thing. Now, what is this all about? He is saying to her that Mary, the one who is doing nothing, is the one who has chosen what you should be doing. And you, the one who's been working hard, well, you shouldn't be as concerned about that. You see, what Jesus is doing here, both before what we have in our gospel reading and after, is he is teaching us to do as he said in his prayer. Lord, Father, I thank you that you have not revealed these things, the things of salvation, to the wise and understanding, but to little children. You see, when adults, they approach God as adults. And it's true. We do learn. We do grow. And yet, when we approach God, it must not be as adults, but rather as little children. That is, as those who are there, not to do anything, not to offer anything to God, to work hard, to slave away, but rather to listen, to receive, to be recipients of the very salvation that Christ has come to bring. And so, what must I do? I must do nothing. I must not do those things in order to gain salvation, because I am baptized. I have already been saved. Jesus Christ, in his suffering and death and resurrection, has already accomplished salvation. There is nothing I can do to be saved. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, you who are baptized, you go and do the same, because your Lord has had mercy upon you. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.